Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we proudly present our spectacular show of podcast magic and imagination full of Disney wonder, news, and pop culture. It's the Main Street Electrical Podcast with Jen Novotny and David Dollar.
Welcome back, Jen.
Well, thanks, Dave. I'm
back on the Main Street Electrical Podcast. I say back like you were gone last week. We were all here last week.
I mean, literally everyone was here. It was fine.
No, it's been a crazy week. The chirping and noises you hear in the background, that's my kid, because usually I record in my office when it's just me. Tonight, Stephanie, my beloved wife, is still in Egypt. She'll be in Egypt tomorrow, actually, returning to Atlanta tomorrow night. She'll get home on Friday back here because she just doesn't want to drive back late tomorrow night, which is understandable. It's a 3-hour drive. And so, you know, I'm like, you were busy today because you just got back. We'll get there in a minute. And, you know, I'm like, we have to record tonight. And I got to sit on my dining room table. Kids running around here listening to his phone and watching Game Show Network and such. And so, so to the audience, if you hear noises in the background, I can't apologize for it. It's just him. It is what it is.
Hey.
Here we are.
It's all good.
I mean, Brady's like that too. When he's hungry, he's chomping around and behind the scenes making noises like, hungry, I'm hungry.
Yeah, you never know.
Where's the chips? Jen, how did you Disney this week?
Oh, I mean, I get to cheat. I Disneyed by being in Disney, literally. And I am wearing my new Tower of Terror.
Nice.
Welcome back for those who made it.
Sure. Yes, you are. And you made it, apparently.
I did make it.
Very nice. Very good. So... Yeah. I have a story to tell about my Disney experience this week because my kid on the spectrum, once he gets focused in on something, he's focused in on it. That's kind of what he wants. And so we'll go to Walmart and we'll walk the aisles and stuff, and I'll get my steps in, and he's entertained. And he just, for whatever reason, the last few weeks, he's focused in on getting the Encanto DVD. I'm a Blu-ray guy. If I get a movie, I want it on Blu-ray. I want the nicer version, not the DVD. And I'm like, we're not going to buy the DVD for $10. We'll buy the Blu-ray for $15. You know, and so I have it on Amazon. It's already come in. I've got the Blu-ray on the shelf. He wanted the DVD. And so Monday, he had his speech therapy. He had piano. It was a great day at school. It was a great day all around. Just, you know, he's having a great time, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? We're going to go buy you Encanto DVD because it's at Walmart. We'll just go. I'll spend the $10. He's going to be happy. We get to Walmart. It's not there. It's not there.
And the
piano. Gamble. We're at piano. And you're going to hear a lot of that, by the way. We're at piano, and which is about 10 miles in the eastern direction. And so, you know, I'm like, well, there's a Walmart there. We'll go by there. They didn't have it. I'm like, well, you know what? We'll try to get it whenever we can. Go to Amazon and order it. The one we want is not available on Amazon. Walmart has it for order, but you have to order it. It's not going to come the next week. And I'm like, well, this will never do. So Tuesday, right after lunch, I hop in the car and I go to a town in the opposite direction, about 10 miles the other direction, to Alabaster, Alabama, to the Walmart that's there, going to the Walmart, and I find it. I've got it. Coming all the way back. Like, it's basically an hour of my time because I have to go down the interstate and get off on there and just... But he has Encanto in his hand. It's actually sitting right beside him on the couch now. He likes to open up. He hears the click of the disc. He'll pull the disc out, put the disc back in, click, close it. Open it, click, click. Hold the disc up, close it. That's his thing. And he's, you know, we were out and about
so
today.
Cute.
He's had Encanto in his hand the whole time. He's like, it's whatever.
It's his. He loves it.
And he was watching it on Disney Plus, watching on Disney Plus earlier, listening to some of the songs while holding the DVD case in his hand. So
that's so cute.
Yes, that is how I Disneyed, at least for today. And I'll be at Disney next week. So we'll get to that later. Jen, you just got back from Disney. So let's talk a little bit about your trip, kind of give an overview. I know you didn't rope drop. But naturally, you and Brady are the kind of people that you've been so many times. You'll get there when you get there. You're like Mr. Incredible and the Incredibles whenever they're on the interstate. We'll get there when we get there. That's kind of you and Brady.
Yeah.
But this time, not so much. Tell me a little bit about how your trip was.
So we were with some folks who don't get to go a lot. One person is a seasoned Disney veteran. However, he just hasn't been in the past few years. Pardon me, my voice is still a little bit... tired because I've spent the last 5 days, like, we've talked nonstop, laughed our heads off. It was so much fun.
You know,
I know.
Who are you? And what'd you do with my co-host?
But the other three people who we were with have really only been like one person, this was their second time. One person, this was like their third time. And one person, maybe like their fourth time. So they have not seen a lot of the new things. So in my head, I'm like, okay, this is going to be full week. This is not how we typically tour.
Yep.
So we had all the dining reservations. We did Rodeo Roundup Barbecue for the first time. We did, you know, we took them to Italia. We took them to Space 220. We went to the Plaza because we did the dessert party. So we had like late nights too. But we, because we are more late night people, we weren't all about the rope dropping life, but we did hardcore use Genie Plus. And I was stacking like a fool, like a professional. Let me tell you what, we got everything done in every park. And we went, I will say, the first day we went to Epcot, we did get a magical moment and got escorted into the line for Remy, I think because the cast member was laughing at us. Because my friend Lauren and I were totally going the wrong way. I'm like, where is the entrance? And the guy's like, it's over here. And I'm like, oh, sorry, we just flew it. I've been up since 2.
I'm so
and I
used
usually
to
go in that line.
And David here, just if I could just follow them. But
right.
Yeah,
I was like, it's like normally I go in that line, but like we didn't get a pass. So like I can't remember where the entrance is. And he starts laughing. He's like, come here. And so he just escorts us to the line. I'm like, thank you. So it was funny. But yeah, we were like hardcore all day long. And then we would get back at like 10 at night, prep for the next day. Like, okay, I'm going to stack Flight of Passage. And then we're going to do this, you know, for the first one. And then like, I would set my alarm and I would make sure that I was up every day for 7 a.m. By the way, Disney, can we fix that time? Because I'm just going to speak for every human being out there. I needed to sleep. I had interrupted.
I'm surprised Siri wasn't like, why are you setting your alarm for 6:30?
My phone
understand.
Was so confused. It was like, what are you doing?
You've never done this
what
before.
What are you doing? Like, my body was like, I'm at Disney. Like, what the heck?
So I know you're not usually someone who uses Genie a lot. How was Genie?
Right. Well, so, I mean, I will use it occasionally. It's not like I've never used it. And I'll use individual lightning lanes probably more than anything.
Oh, yeah. Those we always use quickly. Yeah.
For sure. But you know what? It was fine. I will say, for me, it worked very well for the most part. I feel like the second Epcot day, I really didn't get my money's worth. But the crowds were very light. So things were a walk on.
That's interesting. Okay.
I know, which is odd. But the first day, it was totally worth its weight. So I think it just kind of depends on crowds. Right. I did really well with Magic Kingdom. I did really well with Hollywood Studios, getting everything. So the stacking worked really well, worked in our favor, and we were able to get everything done. So that was good.
Define stacking. There are people listening going, Genie Plus, I don't understand stacking. What does that even mean? I know what FastPass stacking sort of was, but define stacking for the audience.
Right. So stacking FastPasses is basically when you have multiple sitting in your account at once. Typically, it's like you have one and then you move or like once you've used it, you get another one. Or if it's more than 2 hours, you can go ahead and get like a second one. So you might have like two stacked. Well, when I started the morning, I bought, and let me just use Magic Kingdom. I bought Tron. I bought Seven Dwarfs because they definitely wanted to do that. And Seven Dwarfs was fairly cheap at only $11. And then, so I started with two and then I stacked Peter Pan because that was one person's like must do. So I was like, well, we're getting Peter Pan.
Of course.
So I got it for like 11:30. So that means I had three stacked. Well, at 11 o'clock, I could get another one, which means I had four stacked that I hadn't used yet because I got Seven Dwarfs for a certain time. So it worked out where I was, what did I get after Peter Pan? Oh, Haunted Mansion. So we ended up being able to go Pan, Seven Dwarfs, Mansion. And then at that point, after I got Mansion, I got another one, you know, like maybe Big Thunder or something. And so I just kept setting my alarm for when I could get the next one. So I always had at least one. Typically, I had about two sitting there, sometimes up to four sitting at the same time. Where we just letting us go boop, 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 boop. And then we would just ride, you know, things that had a short wait, you know.
Right. So basically the general rule is, and I'll see if I, this is one of those tricky things that if you don't word it just right, it's really confusing.
Yeah.
So if you get a lightning lane early on, let's just say you got Haunted Mansion for 3 p.m. Okay.
Right.
You're not stuck waiting till 3 to get another one. 2 hours after the park opens or after you get into the park?
Is 2 hours after park opening. You after can get opens. Another okay,
so,
one.
So, if so at 11 a.m. At 11 o'clock, you can go ahead and let's just, you got Peter Pan. All of a sudden it was free. You got Peter Pan for 11:30, even though you have a Haunted Mansion at 3 o'clock. Now, once you use Peter Pan at 11:30, are you able to get another one?
So yes, at that point, because you're still, you still have that Haunted Mansion for later in the day. As soon as you've used Peter Pan, you can get another one.
Okay. So then it just becomes like a regular Lightning Lane day. You're just waiting for your one out here. That's kind of how
now, if your first one was 10:30, you don't have to wait till 11. You can use it as soon as you use that first one.
Absolutely. So very cool. There you go. There's your stacking and such. It sounded like a fun trip. Where'd you stay?
We stayed at Riviera.
Riviera. How was it?
I love it so much. It's, I almost love it as much, if not maybe just a little bit more than the Grand.
Interesting. Grand Flo is going to be upset when she hears this.
I don't know. I know. I mean, I can't, I can't oust her yet, but like, I really love Riviera.
Riviera is nice. I have not stayed there. I've been there several times, been there, but never stayed there. Skyliner. That's what does it for me. Cause I'm a Skyliner guy. So I love the Skyliner. Last question about your trip here. Roundup Rodeo. Give us your honest assessment. You said your first time you had been there. So what did you think?
I was very impressed. Honestly, I thought it was, first of all, the theming absolutely on point. Absolutely. Just so, 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 so cute. We found the missing puzzle pieces in Toy Story Land because there is one wall that is all a big puzzle, if you don't know, and it has like two different missing pieces. We found them. It is adorable because they'll be like, Andy's coming, and then everybody has to like freeze.
Right.
And we had the most hilarious time because one friend just like wasn't getting it. And Brady's like, don't move. And made him like staring at her and made her laugh. And she's cracking up. It was such a fun meal. And the food was good. And I know our friend Melissa had talked about all the sides. Very impressed. The tots were nice and crispy. The mac and cheese was delicious. The biscuits were great. It was just really, really solid food. I would go back.
Yeah, I want to go back. I'm excited about going back one of these days. I feel like that's one they could make into a character meal easily.
Oh, they could.
Maybe they'd have to move the tables out a little bit to give a little more room.
I think that would be the issue.
Probably. And no, when they say Andy's coming, all the servers don't just collapse. That would be tragic and horrible. But they do, you know, they do freeze, like you said. And, you know, you throw Woody and Jesse in there, maybe in a Buzz or something. Buzz with the wings down, because that would be hard. But yeah, you could easily make this a character meal and jack up the price like $25 per person, and people would pay it in a heartbeat, because that would be really cool. And I'm wondering why they don't, or maybe even just a breakfast, just have a breakfast there, and then lunch and dinner is, you know, or whatever, have a roundup breakfast or something. Yeah, they should definitely do that. So let's get to a little bit of news.
It's all the news that's fit to print with David Holla and Jen Navatney.
News.
Now, when I say a little bit of news, there's actually a lot of news going on here. So we're going to dive right in. And I'm going to first start with the park down the street, the Dark Lands, the Universal Park that, of course, is building Epic Universe. Heather, Moana Mom, our wonderful quasi-producer, don't listen to this part because I'm about to bestow some praise upon a park that is not Disney. Universal, the Epic Universe, is looking pretty tight because I saw a video. They're testing Starfall Coaster, which is the coaster as soon as you walk in the gates. There's Starfall Coaster, and it looks amazing. There's like two huge, or the top hats. They're basically like the Velocicoaster has that big, big hill, big lift and down. It's called the top hat, and they have two of those, and it looks phenomenal. The curve looks fantastic. They're already testing some other coasters as well. They've also released the ride vehicles for the Yoshi ride. Now they're saying 2025. They haven't said when.
No.
I mean, I'm thinking summer 2025, but it wouldn't shock me to know this was open for spring break next year. I mean, it would not surprise me at all because two of the hotels are opening up in January.
Right.
I cannot imagine they're going to open Epic Universe up in January unless they want to get
off. No, I don't think so.
Because as you pointed out many times, and you're right, that Universal has a propensity to break stuff as soon as they open it, aka Hagrid's motorbike. Bike magical creature adventure,
which still
bike
breaks.
Adventure thingy. Yes, all the time.
All the time.
All the time. But this one is, and I haven't seen the theming. I mean, I know what the themes are to these coasters, but I haven't seen the theming, what they're doing. Hagrid is very technologically advanced with a lot of animatronics and like you got the drops and the mist and the dog and whatever. Velocicoaster is like, they just have a couple of dinosaurs going at you and you're super fine. And so they started Velocity Coaster testing 6 or 8 months ahead of time, just running it constantly all day, every day, which was great. I don't know how much they did on the Hagrids, but I'm seeing this now, and it's given me some encouragement and some hope that maybe these rides won't break down immediately. I have also heard that Universal is pulling back on some 3D stuff, like Kong, I believe, doesn't require glasses anymore. Not that it's a good ride.
Oh, really?
Anyway, it's not a good ride. But it's Kong doesn't require the glasses. And I think there's another ride they're taking away the 3D glasses, like your favorite ride, Fast and Furious. You don't need glasses for that.
Oh my gosh, that ride is so stupid. It's such a terrible ride. It's so bad.
I mean, I'm like, Jen, gun to your head, Fast and Furious, or It's a Bug's Life, and you're probably thinking, I'm a believer. I'm going to go to heaven, so I'm good.
I would almost pick Bug's Life. I would almost pick Bug's Life. What does that tell you?
I mean, just anyway, Fast and Furious. But no, it's encouraging to see the progress they're making on it. And of course, that leads us to D23 coming up in September. Which we're all crossing our fingers. I think I speak for a lot of Disney fans because I've heard this from a lot of places, have been burned twice in a row now from D23 and Destination B, from Disney, and basically saying, hey, here's the ideas we have. We're going to do some of this stuff, maybe, kind of, sort of, maybe, just, you know, we'll think about it. And again, Universal's like, we got like 9 coasters going in tomorrow. It's, you know, they're on their way over. And so again, Disney has the magic. They have magic that Universal will never have. Maybe in 25 or 50 years, Universal will have a fan base that they built some nostalgia for people, but they still don't have that. Disney has it. So they always have a leg up on that. But at the same time, it's like, oh my gosh, give us some.
And the experience in Disney is always going to be so much more fully immersive and all of those things. But if you're looking at new attractions, because I did have someone who just asked me, like, hey, well, what are we excited about next? Like Tiana's. I'm like, right? Yep, we got Tiana's.
Yep.
And then, you know, we have some other things in the pipeline. We just don't know when they're opening. So
right. Tiana's is coming. It's coming fast. It's coming. It's getting here. It's getting great. So yeah, D23 has been announced. I mean, like, some of the stuff that they're doing is it's all coming up. And let's see. I'm trying to find here the lineup is kind of what you would expect. It's August the 9th, 10th, and 11th at the Anaheim Convention Center. And you can go online, D23.com, and see all the pricing. And some of the pricing is fairly expensive if you want, like, reserve seating. Honestly, I would love to go to this event, but at the same time, it's like, I'm okay streaming this for free at home versus paying $900 for guaranteed seating. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have your merchandise exclusives, immersive experiences and such, your entertainment showcase on Saturday. You'll have panels and presentations and such and blah, blah, blah. On Sunday, you're going to have the panels on Sunday morning. And that's always when they do the big announcements for Disney coming up. Like, what's going to be happening? We're all crossing our fingers. This might be the time they finally announce Villains, Villains Park. That Heather, I mean, they haven't called Heather, quasi producer Heather and I, yet about our villains plan for the Villains Land beyond Big Thunder. They haven't called us yet. They will. I'm pretty sure that they will, but they haven't called us yet. But that's supposedly what's coming. Also, what's coming that we've been told, and they've kind of leaned into it, that Encanto and Zootopia and the Tropical America is coming to the Dino Land area. They're taking that Dino Land, putting in that. And they've inferred that maybe Indiana Jones is coming. And I think for all of us, it's like the only place we know that it would go would be the dinosaur ride.
Right, because there's one in Disneyland. So
I mean, exactly. And I would imagine they might put in another ride where Primeval World is, or put something else. I mean, I can't imagine this could be like one ride land.
No, that would be sad.
I don't know what Disney's going
to
do.
There used to be other rides too. There was Primeval World. There's
Triceratops Spin is still there.
But like those can obviously Triceratops Spin can be something.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, they'll probably will
something
remove
that's not
that,
glorified Dumbo,
or they'll change it to Zootopia animals and make it a Zootopia spinny thing.
Let's make it something better than that.
Yeah,
I'm voting for something better than
just
that.
Just take it out. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Make it into a third Dumbo and put that in Storybook Circus. Why the heck not, right? And so you know, just bring it out whenever they need to. Like monorails, when it's really, really busy and you have to have like all the monorails going, just roll that Dumbo out on spring break and Christmas time and roll it backstage when you don't need it, right? So Animal Kingdom, they've released permits. And I love that websites to do this. There are certain websites that I do follow that will like watch those permits like crazy. Mm-hmm. And as soon as Disney files a permit, they're like, hey guys, Disney's filing a permit.
Right.
Which most of the time I'm like, okay, they're changing 6 light bulbs and they're getting permission to put a new plug in.
Exactly. Like, whatever. It's not a big deal. But
this time they are actually putting in some Imagineering trailers in Animal Kingdom over by the Asia area and over behind the Dino Land area. And they're actually building some walkways between that area and the Dino Land area. Now, this is not I can't tell you what they're going to do. We don't know what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. I've heard everything from cast member parking to just whatever. I do think this is the start of personally, I think this is the start of the Dinoland transformation.
That would not surprise me.
And I think
that wouldn't surprise me.
Having it, it wouldn't shock me whether we heard it next week or in May or even in June. Hey guys, Dinoland is closing at this certain date. They're going to put the pins out, do all the merch and everything, but Dinoland is closing. You know, come get your Chester and Hester filled.
I can see it more like fall. Like, I feel like maybe, it wouldn't be summer.
I think Josh D'Amaro would love to be able to say when he's doing D23 presentation, hey guys, you notice we closed Dinoland. We're already starting. We're already going on these things. Here's what we're going to do to say this is whatever. And so that way it's already blocked off. And, you know, I mean, go ahead and close it and whatever. I mean, just put a closing date on it. And you're right. It might be August or something, because they'd want to get through summer because they're going to need that. They're going to need that people eating space. But I could see that. I don't know. Or maybe they would just close up part of it. I don't know.
I would say they probably close up part of it because they don't want to lose Dinosaur until they have to.
Right.
So I would say, you know, yes, Hester and Chester's.
Chester and Hester and Fester and Mester. Yes. All those guys.
Whatever.
We need to go through the story, not right now, but of the Chester and Hester story. Maybe do a retrospective on Dinoland. Yeah. Long lost Dinoland.
Whenever we get that announcement.
Also announced at D23 is the Disney Legends lineup. Now, Disney Legends is basically an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. It's a lifetime achievement award to somebody who has been a creative, somebody who's given to the Disney community entertainment, whether it's television or whether it's the parks, whether it's the movies. Now, some, of course, they've given it to lifelong Disney contributors. Other times they've given it to people who maybe have come into the fold in recent years. And that's going to be kind of some of this. I'm going to run through these names real quick. Colleen Atwood is a costume designer. She's gotten 4 Academy Awards, including one for Alice in Wonderland. She's been nominated 12 times. She's done costumes for Planet of the Apes, Into the Woods, Lady and the Tramp, The Little Mermaid. She's a great costume designer. Angela Bassett, who is an incredible actress. She was in Black Panther. She also narrates the Imagineering story, and she does some of the narration for, is it Happily Ever After, I believe? One of the fireworks shows she does some of the narration for. I think it's one of those. Martha Blanding, she is the first Black tour guide, the first permanent Black tour guide. Was Martha Blanding hired at Disneyland as a cast member. She is now a VIP hostess, and she's the first ever Black woman in management as an expert merchandise, candy, and film buyer. Later became the senior manager of Disneyland Resort Merchandise Special Events and has done a lot of other things. So kudos to her. James L. Brooks, incredible director. He's directed everything from Terms of Endearment to The Simpsons. He actually helped create The Simpsons, which has won 37 Emmy Awards. Again, this is one of those kind of pulled into the fold. Now that Simpsons is part of Disney, let's give him an achievement as well. James Cameron, he's an independent filmmaker. A few small movies you may have heard of.
Maybe.
He did something about The Boat Sinks, I think was the name of his movie, and The Blue People, True Lies and The Abyss and Terminator. Again, pulled into the fold as part of working. Mm-hmm. Jamie Lee Curtis, same thing. She was, of course, in Freaky Friday.
Stupid Judy.
Exactly. There you go. Stupid Judy, Stupid Energy. She was in Madame Leota in The Haunted Mansion last year. Miley Cyrus. Now, when I first saw this name, you kidding me? Miley Cyrus. But at the same time, her work when she was a teenager doing Hannah Montana vaulted that Disney Channel lineup to a new stratosphere. I worked at the Disney store at the time Hannah Montana was kind of at her peak. Wizards of Waverly Place was just coming into the fold. It wouldn't shock me to see Selena Gomez get the status pretty soon, but I could see this. I could see Miley Cyrus getting this award. I'm kind of okay with it, right? And so next is Steve Ditko, who's an artist. He worked on The Amazing Spider-Man. He helped Stan Lee create Spider-Man, actually, in 1962. Done a lot of work back there. I think this is going to be a posthumous award. Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher are previously Disney Legend Award winners. Harrison Ford will now become a Disney Legend in his own right.
Why wasn't he already?
Exactly. I was very surprised that he wasn't one already. I'm not, if you're going to give it to Carrie and Mark, give it to Harrison.
Because he's also Indiana. Right? Like, let's just say.
Indiana, he's also going to be Thunderbolt Ross in the Captain America Brave New World coming out next year. Mark Hinn, Walt Disney Animation's studio animator on The Fox and the Hound. He worked on Mickey's Christmas Carol. He animated Simba on The Lion King, Pocahontas. He worked on the animated Enchanted. He's done work on Frozen, Big Hero 6, Moana, just ain't a ton of stuff. Frank Oz. The puppeteer with the Muppets. He was a legendary yes. puppeteer working with Jim Henson. He did work on the Muppets Thing, Manhattan, Little Shop of Horrors, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, What About Bob? You know, just tons of stuff. He's directed things. He's done Muppets or whatever. So he's the original Yoda, performed the character of Yoda, Empire Strikes Back, and from there on out. So that's Frank Oz. Kelly Ripa. You might know her with Regis and Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
But then it was Regis and Kelly. Then it was Kelly and Ryan. Then Kelly it was Kelly and Michael. And now it's Kelly and whatever her husband's name is, Marcus or Mark or whatever.
Sure.
Just legendary character from television. So, you know, kudos to her for that. Joe Rohde. You might have heard of him.
Oh, maybe just a little. I have a signed photo from Joe Rohde or a lithograph. Yeah.
Yeah. If for the fans out there that don't know who Joe Rohde is, then you definitely need to listen to more of our podcast. He is kind of the creative executive for supervising and doing Disney's Animal Kingdom Park. Mm-hmm. Also worked on and creating Expedition Everest, helped the world of Avatar and Pandora, worked on the Adventurers Club, worked on Alani, Guardians of the Galaxy. So just an incredible figure there.
Yeah.
So kudos to him. I don't know if they're going to give his earring a Disney legend status as well.
I mean, it should probably have its own.
Probably so. John Williams, he's made a little music here and there. I mean, it's just,
how did he not already have one?
You know, it's one of those like Disney's own Star Wars. I mean, for
well, that's true.
Years
they've only owned Star Wars,
and so
bit.
I guess it's been collaboration,
true.
But never really into the fold. So you know, that's awesome that he's gotten that. So John Williams. So here are the people that are not Disney legends that need to be Disney legends. There's a long list, but I'm gonna
Alan Menken
names here. Alan Menken's a Disney legend. He's a Disney
did he make it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, not this year, but like this has been going
like
on
a while
like,
ago,
20
right.
years now, right?
Okay.
So Samuel L. Jackson, his character is in the Marvel universe in Star Wars, huge. He was also Frozone. And it's one of those that if you're looking at it going, why is he a Disney legend? I'm looking at some other people going, if they're Disney legends,
then why is he not a Disney legend?
If Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be a Disney legend,
right?
You know, Alan Tudyk, who is an incredible voice artist. He did Hey Hey from Moana. He did Candy for Wreck-It Ralph. He's been in probably a dozen Disney films, as well as being Steve the Pirate in Dodgeball, because you love Steve the Pirate.
Oh, who doesn't love Steve the Pirate?
Stacy, must do Disney Stacy. Why
Dude,
is she
needs to be
not
a Disney,
She
needs to be a Disney legend.
I don't understand this. Like, there's no reason she should not, because more people have seen her probably than they've seen, like, Steve Ditko. Well, I take that back. Steve Ditko's done a lot of stuff. He's seen a lot of Spider-Man. There's some people that, like, more people have seen her in action than they've seen a lot of other people. So definitely Stacy.
Yeah.
Yeehaw Bob should be a Disney legend.
Sure.
On one hand, it's like, okay, you got park people, maybe give them a different award, but you're giving costume designers awards. You're giving VIP tour guides, much deserved, by the way. I'm not saying you should.
Absolutely.
Yeehaw Bob should be a legend. Two more names here. Michael Eisner. Because he and Disney did not end well. That relationship
did not
end well. It's been almost 20 years. I feel like Disney could put aside the bad ideas, the attitude or whatever for 3 hours just to bring him on stage, you know, give him that award and be like, okay, go away. And that's fine. Eisner's the GOAT. I mean, he saved the company. He just saved the company from being basically corporately raided. Finally, and Jen, I want you to sit down for this because I didn't realize this until earlier today, that this one is not a Disney legend. Tom Hanks.
Shut up. Stop it right now.
Tim Allen has been a Disney legend for like 9 years.
Stop it right now. How is Tom Hanks not
I don't know.
A Disney legend?
When I heard, I had to go look it up. Like, I Googled it. I was like, that's wrong. That is
that's
holy
wrong.
Crap. He's not. How is Tom Hanks not a Disney
how?
Legend? I don't
he's
understand.
He's the
this.
Voice of Woody. He played freaking Walt.
Yeah. Yeah. He played, I mean, and he's
oh,
just.
Oh, they need to fix that.
I don't understand how he's not. Mm-mm. How he's not a Disney Mm-mm. legend. This year's ceremony will be the last night of the D23 overall presentation. Ryan Seacrest will be hosting, and it wouldn't shock me to see Ryan Seacrest get Disney legend status sometime in the next
year. Not before Tom Hanks.
No, not before Tom Hanks. I mean, none of these people should be before Tom Hanks. Maybe
correct.
Frank Oz and Harrison
okay,
Ford.
Okay, no,
maybe,
I'll give you Frank Oz.
But,
all right.
You know, if you're going to give this to Miley Cyrus, yes, maybe she deserves it, but come on, Tom Hanks.
But come on, Tom Hanks should be in that crew.
Seriously. Seriously. So Disneyland, speaking of Disneyland, all the things that they get that we don't, just saying. So Disneyland is doing Season of the Force once again. They are coming out with Season of the Force. Hyperspace Mountain, which is opening up over at Space Mountain there. There's a huge layover,
Steve,
which is awesome.
I don't think that would work in Florida.
I get it. I get it.
You could not
it.
Do that in Florida.
I get it. But they're doing different musical events. They're doing different merchandise. They're going to have John Williams. Some of his Star Wars scores are going to be heard in Galaxy's Edge. So you'll have the music
behind
there.
Bring that to
there.
Epcot. Ooh, we could listen to it.
You know, we do get the Star Tours, the adventures continue. Mm-hmm. We get some of that with Ahsoka, Cassian, and the Mandalorian. So that'll be going on Star Tours, mm-hmm. some of those scenes and stuff. But there's going to be limited time merch over there. They're going to have like merchandise coming to the Star Trader in Tomorrowland. They're going to have just like new food, new photo pass experiences and stuff. Mm-hmm. New bounty hunters. I mean, characters walking around that we're not going to get. I don't understand why they get it. We don't. I get it. Don't give us Hyperspace Mountain. Maybe just don't do that.
We can't do that.
Seriously. I mean, like they have after hours events, Star Wars nights and stuff. They could so do that at Magic Kingdom. Have a Star Wars night.
They could. At Magic Kingdom, or wouldn't you do it in Galaxy's Edge?
Well, Galaxy's Edge. That's true. Galaxy's Edge. You're right. Sorry, Galaxy's Edge. But I mean, make so much money. Do an overlay of the Hollywood Tower of Terror and make it a Star Wars theme of some sort. I don't know. I don't know if you could do that.
Like bring back kind of like Star Wars weekends.
Yeah.
But at Hollywood Studios.
Wait, just do it
at After
Hours event. Ooh. Yeah. You don't have to make the whole thing. If you're like, I don't want to do the whole thing for Star Wars weekend. I get that. But I mean, just, Jen, I just don't understand. You need to call somebody. Call Bob. Call the Bob.
Bob's
not who's, here. Now, who's the Josh over there? Do you know? Because I actually don't know. Who is
Josh?
Oh,
I do. Ken.
Dorsey?
No. It'll come because I'm so
whatever.
Tired. It's
anyway,
Ken.
Call him.
I know his name.
You seem to know him. You guys are best buds. So just call him. It's be fine. Just call him, right? So finally, the D23, the marathon weekend races have been announced. It is a very nostalgic looking theme. It's really cool. The 5, 10K, half marathon, the Goofy's race, the half marathon and the full marathon, and the Dopey Challenge. We're doing all of them. Different prices are out now. I believe that the, and don't quote me on this, but it's like the third or something where the Club Run Disney can get theirs. Like a couple of days later, general population can do theirs. Just look it up or, you know, come find some of our stories and stuff and things like that. And you'll find it and everything. But Jen, I think that's all I got. I think that's good. You got dinner waiting on you. I got a kid running around here actually being very good, by the way. So, hey, Campbell,
come here.
I want you to make your debut on the podcast. Come here, buddy. So let's bring Campbell over here to say hello. Oh, get up. Come on. Nope. Okay. Well, he says no. He says no.
Listen, he's not.
When you were, we took a break, by the way, during the podcast. Nobody heard it because we edited it out. But she did take a break to get some food from the front door that was delivered. And Campbell was right here on the shoulder, had his music playing. He was like, what's up? And I'm like, come on, dude. Really? Seriously. Anyway, so we will be in Disney next week. I do believe that we're trying to put together a special episode next week with you and maybe some of the girls doing a girl show again.
Yeah.
Kyla and or Heather and or whoever you come together. Mm-hmm. You have free reign to do whatever. Whatever you want to do. You're the co-host, so do your thing. It may just be y'all giggling for an hour, which might be, you know, it's like Divas Dish Diz all over again, which is fine. but that'll be next week. And we don't know what we're doing for 200. We've actually talked about this. And
yeah,
we have no idea. So if you guys have any ideas, email us, themsepodcast@gmail.com, or send us a message on any of our socials at themsepodcast on X and on Facebook and on Instagram. We'd be happy to hear some ideas because we don't know. We may just come together and be like, hey, it's 200. Woohoo. And just keep going. We don't know. So Jen, yeah. where can we find you? And you can start posting any pictures from the weekend, or is that kind of a... Because I know you disconnected, which was really nice for you.
I did actually disconnect.
Really nice. You totally deserve to do that. I was very happy that you did that.
Yeah, I don't normally. And this was just one of those, like, everybody who I was with, like, they decided to disconnect from work. So
I love it.
I'm going to do that too. So, but I did take a lot of content.
To disconnect?
Very.
Was it hard? Yeah, that's
very. So. But I did it. So I'm going, but
proud
I will
you.
Go back. You and I'll do some reels and some, you know, some posts of like fun things. I did send things though, like I messaged Mare and she, you know, posted for me on the main page. So Maine Upon a Star got some of my content actually.
Right.
Just
good.
I didn't post it on my own.
good.
But I will.
Well, it's funny because with our agency, and there are shows, there are podcasts that I know of that the hosts, until they get together on the podcast, they really, really ever talk. Or I know a couple of people work in different radio programs that until they get together on the air, they don't really talk a whole lot. You and I, and with Kyla and with several other people in the agency, we talk basically daily, random messages here and there. Whether it's, sometimes it's a question about travel. Hey, Jen, what would you do about this? Other times it's like, oh my gosh, did you see what just got released? You know, when something big releases for Disney, I get in all capital letters, David, from Heather. She'll be like, did you see this? And we'll talk about it. You know, so it's really a great little community of travel agents that we have here. And so not hearing from me for a full like 2 or 3 days really sporadically was a little unusual. And again, I was telling our third co-host, Kyla, I was like, either Jen just doesn't like me anymore, oh, she's fully disconnected. And I was like, this is great. And yeah. Kyle was like, I think she's just disconnected, but she may not like you. I don't know. So thankfully it was the disconnection, but very proud of you on that.
Yeah.
Well, so did you say where they could find you? I don't even remember.
I didn't, okay. But it's where can they find you? It's at Avanastar Jen or at Jen_Navati.
Perfect. Find me at the MSC podcast. That's the podcast. Find me at the Magic on a Dollar on Instagram. I do that every week. Find me on Disney on a Dollar and Magic on a Dollar on Facebook. And of course, I'm also got another podcast called The Deucecast Movie Show out every Wednesday where we talk about movies and fun stuff. And you have the Divas Dish Diz, another podcast. And do we have any episodes coming up? Any talk of it? Now that you hit 200, are you like, we'll just get
no
there.
We do, we just haven't been able to coordinate. There's been a lot going on, so that's kind of our MO.
It does make me laugh that we started this episode and you were like on episode like 97 or something of that podcast, and we're about to lap you on that, which is kind of great, which is kind of fun for me. Also, we have a YouTube show. I'm assuming we still have a YouTube show called Traveling with the Stars coming out about once a week or so.
Once a week.
It's been crazy because Jen's kind of the head of that. So last week was a little nuts. It's been crazy for everybody. But yeah, let us know, guys, what you guys think about episode 200. What do you think we should do? Also, any Disney news, any feedback, we'd love to hear from you as well. Also, one of the greatest things you possibly can do for any podcast is go on whatever you get your podcast, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Google Play, whether it's Stitcher. Nobody uses Stitcher. Whether it's that or iHeart or iTunes, Amazon, whatever.
Yeah.
Leave a review. Five stars is fantastic. That's the best one. If you leave one star, leave something fun. Like the one guy that left the one star that's saying, you know, they're not as funny as they think they are. Yes, we are. you know, I will always laugh at our own jokes, which is okay. But yeah, that's the best thing that us or any podcast, leave a review. That's how those podcasts get known. Jen, thank you. Go get some food. What's for dinner tonight?
Buffalo chicken salad.
Nice. Go get some buffalo chicken salad.
I will.
I'm going to take care of the kid, and we'll see you guys next week. Don't forget to thank your Phoenicians.
Thank you for listening to the Main Street Electrical Podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The MSE Podcast, or visit our website at themsepodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe, and may all your wishes come true.